Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj, Shrima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Oprimanande. So tonight we'll begin chapter 16 of Canto 10. What is chapter 16 called? Chastisement of the Serpent Kaliya. Okay, so we hear about the Krishna killing him, not killing him, but chastising him, and the continuation of this pastime. Okay, so tonight we'll go from verses 1 to 20. Then next Tuesday, there's not many devotees here at the moment, I don't know why. Next Tuesday we'll do an overview of chapters 9 to 16. And then Jagannath Ram, he prefers on the Tuesday, right? The exam? Yeah, so then following Tuesday will be the exam. So 2 weeks tomorrow will be the exam. So all of your essays, everything will be due in 2 weeks. So next Tuesday, we'll do an overview of the chapters 9 to 16. And then following Tuesday will be the closed book exam, 7 to 9.
Overview is Tuesday,
bro.
Overview is Tuesday or Monday?
Tuesday. And exam is Tuesday also.
So the exam come and do the exam here?
Yep.
It's different to the essay?
Yep. Yep. Okay. So we'll hear about Kaliya. Sukadev Goswami said, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing that the Jamuna River had been contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, desired to purify the river, and thus the Lord banished him from it. So what is Kaliya doing to the river? Poisoning the river. Why is he poisoning the river? Because he is demoniac. He is asura. So the demons, they don't care about the world they live in. They just want to exploit. So therefore he has created a problem. He has contaminated the entire river. And you see right now, 2016, what's taking place? Same thing. Jamuna is poisoned, contaminated by the demons. So it's exactly the same. So the consciousness is the same. So in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, what is chapter 16 called?
Divine
demoniac. So it speaks about Sura and Asura. Asura means demoniac people. Sura means godly people. So the demoniac people, they exploit the material energy. So you see right now, same problem is happening. Jamuna is poisoned. And 5,000 years ago, Kaliya had done the same thing. So we should understand that this is just the material covering. The spiritual Jamuna can never be contaminated. There's no contamination in the spiritual world. Krishna's river cannot be polluted. So you see that if Jamuna is polluted, that's just the material situation. But spiritually she can never be contaminated. She's always pure. So if you bathe in the Jamuna, in the spiritual world, she's always pure. In the material world, it appears that something else is taking place. King Parikshit inquired, O learned sage, please explain how the Supreme Personality of Godhead chastised the serpent Kaliya within the unfathomable waters of the Jamuna, and how it was that Kaliya had been living there for so many ages. O Brahmana, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, freely acts according to his own desires. Who could be satiated when hearing the nectar of the magnanimous pastimes he performed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan? So what is Krishna's name which is given in the in this verse of the Bhagavad Gita? Gopal. What does Gopal mean?
Oh,
bosom
protects the cows. It also means one who protects the senses. So Krishna, he gives pleasure to the senses of all of the devotees. Therefore, it says in this verse, who could be satiated when hearing the nectar of the magnanimous pastimes he performed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan? So how can anyone be satisfied with hearing enough about Krishna? Because Krishna is the satiator of the senses. He's the only person who can satisfy our senses completely. No one else can satisfy your senses completely. Everyone wants satisfaction. Everyone wants to be happy. Everyone wants to be satisfied. Everyone wants to enjoy. But Krishna is the only person who can fully satisfy everyone simultaneously. Therefore, he's known as Gopal. Gopal means one who gives pleasure to the senses. Also to the cows. So Krishna is that only person. Everyone else is obsolete, insignificant. Everyone else can only give you partial satisfaction, but Krishna can give you complete satisfaction. So it says here that to hear about Krishna, there is no limit to how much the devotees want to hear about Krishna. They just want to hear more and more and more about Krishna. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, within the river Kalindi, Jamuna, was a lake inhabited by the serpent Kaliya, whose fiery poison constantly heated and boiled its waters. Indeed, the vapors thus created were so poisonous that birds flying over the contaminated lake would fall down into it. So read that.
Out of a bundle pool.
In this regard, the Acharyas explained that the Kaliya lake was situated apart from the main current of the river. Otherwise, the Yamuna's waters would have been poisonous even in the cities like Mathura and in other places farther away.
So what points are there?
It was not the entire Yamuna, but it's more like the Yamuna River
contaminated. Yeah.
And how the world happened to go by chance?
Happened to go by chance?
Like, we haven't heard this happening before, but it said he was residing there for ages, so that means they hadn't gone in that area before.
Yeah, they may have stayed away from the area for some reason. This is all just a lila taking place. There's no real reason why the cowherd boys wouldn't have gone there before or that. But it said it was so poisonous, the lake, that the entire area, it was like a fog, because there was so much poison rising up from the lake. The lake was part of the Jamuna. Just like in Australia, we have names for this. We call it Billabong. It means like the river's flowing, and then sometimes the river flows out and creates like an island, and then that may create like a lake area off to the side. So that area, that is called the lake. It's like a part of the river, but it's like a separate kind of part. So there was that area. And generally, it would not take place that the cowherd boys would go there. So it was so poisonous that the fumes were coming up. Everything was hot, and the water was completely contaminated.
The cows were continuously getting killed as well. That was
not continuously.
That attracted Krishna's attention.
Yeah, well, not continuously means the cows and the boys, they died when they went there that one time. It wasn't like they were going there all the time, otherwise Krishna would have stopped it. So Kaliya took shelter in that particular lake, in that particular area. And it was somehow, I mean, these things are irreconcilable. We can't really answer. Why did Krishna not go over there? These things are insignificant to Krishna. They're just small demons. But for the pastime, then Krishna decided at one point, okay, now let's go over to that direction. Let's have some pastime there. Everyone went over there. And then Krishna killed Kaliya, or fought with Kaliya, and performed the whole pastime. Any other points? The wind blowing over the deadly lake carried droplets of water to the shore. Simply by coming in contact with that poisonous breeze, All vegetation and creatures on the shore died. Jogi, you like to read them?
The word sthira, unmoving creatures, refers to various types of vegetation, including trees, and jangama refers to moving creatures such as animals, reptiles, birds, and insects. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted a further description of this lake from Sri Hari Vamsa in 11.42, 44, and 46. The lake was quite wide, 8 miles across at some points. Even the demigods could not cross over it. The water in the lake was very deep and, like immovable depths of the ocean, could not be agitated. Approaching the lake was difficult, and for its shores were covered with holes in which serpents lived. All around the lake was a fog generated by the fire of serpents' poison. The powerful fire would at once burn at every blade of grass that happened to fall into the water. For a distance of 8 miles from the lake, the atmosphere was most unpleasant. Srila Sanatana Goswami states that the mystical science of Jalastambha, making solid items out of water, Kalia had built his own city within the lake.
So any points?
So what does lake under the water?
What is it?
Where was this lake?
It was part of the Jamuna, like the river is flowing, and then there's like a like an extra part going off to the side.
So it wasn't
during this period. Yeah, so I already explained it. The river is flowing, and then sometimes the river branches off, makes like an area, and then that became like the lake. Anything else?
Well, it looks like the yogic power is not important, or it is quite easy even for the others, like the demonic people like Kaliya can do it. But the more importance is the devotional service, because this is something that is achievable and people can get.
Anyone can do that. Anyone can make a
of course,
city out of water under water.
I mean, when compared to devotional service,
insignificant. Yeah. So it is so poisonous that the fumes are going up, the birds would die if they flew over. All the grass and the trees everywhere, everything died. Now, everything was so toxic from the fumes of the snakes. The only creatures that could live there were snakes. So they were living. That's one answer why the cowboys never went there, because as soon as you started going towards the place, it's covered in snakes. Now, so everyone would just turn back. So the whole area was completely contaminated and poisonous. And then Kaliya, he was living underneath. And down in the water, by his mystic potency, he made a city out of the water. It became Jalastama, it means became solid. So then he had like a mystical city which he lived in underneath the water. So Prabhupada describes on the sun planet, same thing is there. On the sun there is cities of fire. You know, in some planets, all the different planets have different environments or different atmospheres. And the creatures live there according to that particular atmosphere. Any other point?
Does it mean to say that demigods and Kaliya was more powerful than the demigods?
Yeah, more powerful. All these demons are more powerful than the demigods. Bakasura, Agasura, Uttana, all of them are more powerful.
But Kaliya is one demon that was not sent to Kamsan.
He was already there.
He was there since ages, since he was there even before Krishna. So he was not Kamsa's ally.
I don't know. I have to read in the details. He may have been. He wasn't living with Kamsa, but he may have been some sort of friend or something. But yeah, it wasn't that Kamsa sent him like the others, but he was already over that side. Any other points?
Description of previous. Kaliya came there because they're all the area of Vrindavan. So again, all of the demons we have, the descriptions are there. What are their previous?
What happened? Yeah, I've got some information there. I'll read it soon. We'll tell you more about.
Wasn't Kaliya fearful of the Garuda?
Ah.
And that's why he was
He wasn't worried about Garuda.
Huh?
He wasn't worried about Garuda. That's why he was living there. So. Yeah, there's Garuda's involved in the past time as well.
He had the curse. Then how can the Garuda is more powerful than demigods? Huh?
Yeah, but Garuda was cursed. That's why Garuda would not go. I'll describe all these things. It's coming. Stay tuned. Lord Krishna saw how the Kaliya serpent had polluted the Jamuna River with his terribly powerful poison. Since Krishna had descended from the spiritual world specifically to subdue envious demons, the Lord immediately climbed to the very top of a very high tree, Kadamba tree, and prepared himself for battle. He tightened his belt, slapped his arms, and then jumped into the poisonous water. So, Jagan, you like to read.
According to the Acharyas, Lord Krishna also tied back to the locks of his hair as he prepared to do battle with Kaliya.
What are the points there in that purport?
Lord Krishna always has to be dramatic.
He's a hero.
He's an actor. He's funny.
He's what?
He's funny.
Yeah, he's funny.
He's being funny.
Yeah, so whenever Krishna does something, he does it with style. You know, he dresses himself nicely before he goes into battle. It said he tied his hair back. So he goes, Krishna has long hair. So he tied his hair back. Got it all tied, right? Adjusted his turban, right? Moved his belt, tightened up the belt, right? Tucked the flute into the belt, like that. Got everything ready. And then it says he slaps his arms, right? Like this. Makes some noise, like that. And all his boys are sitting there, and they look up and they're like, yeah, okay. And then Krishna, and then he jumps right off into Kaliya. So whenever he does something, he likes to make it. Because he's a Nayaka. Nayaka means a hero. So he likes to do everything very powerfully and stylishly and charmingly, attractively. Like that. He likes to look good all the time. Even when he's in a fight, he likes to, you know, make sure everything's nice, and then he'll go for the battle. It says if you read about Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he's on the battlefield, but he has a garland. You don't wear a garland when you're going to fight someone. Someone says, come and fight me. He said, just wait a minute, I'll put my garland on.
But he wasn't going to fight. He was
ready to. Yeah, he's still on the battlefield. Who else is wearing a garland on the battlefield?
Yeah, but he can't.
I tell you no.
That means the charioteer, it's like a servant position, so he likes to wear garlands.
But none of the other charioteers were wearing a garland. So does Krishna, who does like this. So he's very dramatic. So he wanted to go there and he wanted to fight, but first of all he made himself look very good, and then he went to the battlefield. Now Garuda, it says all the trees were dead, but there was one tree which was alive, that was one Kadamba tree. And if you go to Vrindavan, that tree is still there. And that can only be thousands of years old. And a while ago, one of the branches fell off the tree. And then they cut the branch up. And then Sachinandan Swami Burujampa were given like a big piece of the branch. And then they were going to get a deity of Krishna Kaliya carved. So I think they've done that. So very, very ancient tree, Kadamba tree. So all the other trees were dead from the poison. But Garuda, he had been there. So as Garuda was leaving one time, then he dropped some nectar, some amrita, some heavenly drink on the tree, and then the tree remained fertile and strong. All the other trees passed away. Now Kaliya was living in that lake. Now Garuda He would eat snakes. That's the natural food. And fish. That's what eagles, they eat. You see at the farm, like today I see there's a couple of eagles, they live above the farm. Wedge-tailed eagles, big. When they spread their wings, they're 6 foot wide. Big birds. They fly around. It's funny because the magpies attack them. They fly around, but the little birds come and chase them away. Because they come and eat the young from the nests of the magpies. So, you know, today I was watching this whole battle going on in the sky. You know, the different birds are swooping each other and attacking. So naturally they eat, they look down, they eat the fish, and they eat the snakes. They like to eat that food. So normally Garuda would come to the Jamuna and attack Kaliya, and they would have a big fight. Because Garuda likes to fight with the snakes. And Kaliya was extremely powerful. Right, he had like dozens of hoods. You see pictures of him, and he was huge snake, very powerful, extremely powerful. So Garuda and him would like to have big fights. So Garuda was cursed by Sobari. You remember back in Canto 9, previous canto? Yeah, Sobari Muni was living in the Jamuna, under the water. But then Garuda used to come and eat the fish. And Sobari, he made friends with all the fish because he was living under with all the fish, they were his friends. So then he cursed Garuda. He said, I curse you, if you come to this place and eat the fish, you will die. So Garuda could not come to that place. So Kaliya knew the curse, so he went to that place because he knew Garuda could not come and harass him, but he was safe there. And then he made everything completely toxic. But then Garuda knew that Krishna would come in the future, so he dropped some nectar onto the tree. And then when it came time to fight, then Krishna got up on that Kadamba tree, and then he jumped into the water to attack. Any points?
Said in my lecture, whatever Krishna does in this time, if he marries, everybody marries one girl, but he marries thousands of
Yeah, whatever everyone else does, he does it better. Any other points?
There is a Garuda Govind
Mandir, I think,
at the edge where beyond the Garuda cannot.
What is it?
Garuda Govind Mandir. I think that's the point where Garuda has to stop. So they're very nice, and then Garuda and Krishna sitting on top in the room. That's their last time in the room.
What's the name?
Garuda Govind Mandir.
There's different places where Garuda is worshipped in Vrindavan. Different places. There's one place in between Radhakund and Vrindavan. And Garuda is an expansion of, I think, Sri Dhamma. One of the cowherd boys. And then at that place, one time Krishna jumped on Sridharma's back and he turned into Garuda, and they had the pastime. Garuda normally won't come into Vrindavan because it's not his rasa to be
Vrindavan. Sridharma is the brother of Vrindavan.
He's the expansion of one of the boys. I think it's Sridharma, one of the boys. Garuda is an expansion of. Anything else? When the Supreme Personality of Godhead landed in the Serpent's Lake, the snakes there became extremely agitated and began breathing heavily, further polluting it with volumes of poison. The force of the Lord's entrance into the lake caused it to overflow on all sides, and poisonous, fearsome waves flooded the surrounding lands up to a distance of 100 bow lengths. This is not at all amazing, however, for the Supreme Lord possesses infinite strength. So it says that the poison was so thick. When Krishna landed in the lake, it was like described like syrup. you know, like a cough syrup, something very thick, like molasses or something very thick. So the water, there's so much poison in the lake that when Krishna dove in, everything became, it was like thick, like not very pleasant. And it says that the the color was like yellow red, like poisonous reddish. It was like a yellowy reddy, like very poisonous color. So the water was completely contaminated. Krishna dove in. And so when Krishna entered, he got up, he climbed right up on the top of the tree, and then he dove. And when he dove in, it said like two waves came up, like. And the two waves were like, you know, like when devotee puts his hands in the air, like, Hari Bol. So Krishna dove in, and two huge waves splashed out. And then Kaliya was deep, deep, deep within the lake, and he heard the noise. And when he heard the noise, he became very agitated. It's like someone comes to your front door and goes, you become like, who is that? So he became very disturbed. Began to hiss. Now, a few years ago at the farm, there was a snake. There's snakes at our farm all the time, but they're asleep now. In summertime, they're around. I don't see them very much. But there was one big one, a big brown one, a dangerous, poisonous one. And he was behind our house. He crawled under something. So I had to get the shovel and push him like this to make him come out. And then every time I hit him with the shovel, he went, very frightening. Well, they're ready to. And then he came out, and like the cobra, you know, cobra's got hoods. He came out, he went, right, with the hood. Like that. And he was watching me. And I was standing there, I had a big shovel, like that. And he was watching. He'd go a little bit, and he'd turn and look at me. See, what are you doing? He'd go a little bit, and he'd turn and look. And then when he started going, like, you know, and then he thinks, okay, now I can escape. I went, bang, and cut him. So they're very aggressive. You know, sometimes they get cornered, they get big, like that, very aggressive. So Kaliya, when he was deep in the water, he heard that sound and he became very aggressive. And he swam up to see who is it that's causing this disturbance. In the nature of demons, you cause them little disturbance, they get very. Sometimes we are like that too. Someone says something else to me, and me, that's. Tamagun. That's tamagun. You know which mode of nature you're under. Your wife says something to you. That's tamagun. That's mode of ignorance. The wives do not do that.
You don't forget your
wife. Who asked you to talk? So, sometimes we become like that. That's the mode of ignorance. Serpent, sapa. They're creatures in the mode of ignorance, very low. So sometimes they will make that very aggressive sound. So we should, if we see that tendency in us, we should curb that tendency. Purify ourselves. Okay. Which verse we're on?
8?
You have to read it. Krishna began sporting in Kaliya's lake like a lordly elephant, swirling his mighty arms and making the water resound in various ways. When Kaliya heard these sounds, he understood that someone was trespassing in his lake. The serpent could not tolerate this and immediately came forward. So Nila Gopa, you want to read them?
According to the acharyas, Lord Krishna was producing wonderful musical sounds within the water simply by splashing his hands and arms.
So what is the purport here?
He was waiting Kaliya that he has come.
Anything else?
If The sound he was making was like an aggressive sound, like roaring or growling. It sort of implies that, hey, I'm coming to fight you, but the fact that it's like music is even worse because it's like, I'm playing, I'm not even scared.
Yeah, he was doing both. Right? So he was moving his arms around as he was swimming around. And sometimes you make your hand like a cup, and then when you hit the water, it makes particular sounds. You can make different sounds. So he was like, as he's swimming around, he's making different sounds like that. So he was just having fun. For him, he was just enjoying himself, swimming around the lake, and he was taunting Kaliya. He was saying, come, come, I have something for you. Come and visit me now. I've come into your house unannounced. There's nothing you can do, just come. And at the same time, he was smashing, you know, with his arms, he was making huge smashing sound, creating waves. Just to agitate Kaliya. So that is Krishna's nature. Krishna does not like the demoniac. And sometimes within us, we have demoniac tendency or demoniac quality. So Krishna will be very powerful when it comes to dealing with us. He doesn't like demoniac qualities. And he sees that in his devotees. We're his devotees, but sometimes we act like demons, and Krishna becomes very forceful. So you see in Krishna's pastimes, he has two personalities. With the devotees, he's very sweet, very soft, but with the non-devotees, he's very powerful. So with us also, when we act like a devotee, he's very sweet, but when you act like a demon, then he's very strong. Any points?
But then the externals don't matter. That even though the whole lake was so poisonous and he said it was like syrup and reddish brown color and all that, that didn't matter to him, he was still enjoying himself.
Yeah. And because he's spiritual, he doesn't actually contact. So if anything is impure, Krishna is not actually contact. For him, the river would have been very pure. But externally, it looked like it was very poisonous and very contaminated. But one of Krishna's qualities is daksha. Daksha means expert. So he was expert. While he was swimming around, he was just making noises, just to enjoy himself and also to disturb Kaliya.
Actually, so music
Yeah, if you feel the water in the pots up at different levels, you can make all sorts of music. Kaliya saw that Sri Krishna, who wore yellow silken garments, was very delicate. His attractive body shining like a glowing white cloud, his chest bearing the mark of Srivatsa, his face smiling beautifully, and his feet resembling the whirl of a lotus flower. The Lord was playing fearlessly in the water. Despite his wonderful appearance, the envious Kaliya furiously bit him on the chest and then completely enwrapped him within his coils. So this is demoniac personalities are envious. This is the nature of envy. So what did Krishna look like? Very beautiful. Right? So if someone's very beautiful, very sweet, very soft, and still you attack that person, you're just completely envious. That's just demoniac consciousness. Just like we saw last week, we saw the height of demoniac consciousness. The guy drives a truck over children in France. You heard about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you should have heard. It was all over the news. What is that? Who does that? Kill an adult, what's a child? It's just totally demoniac consciousness. There's nothing good in this whatsoever. And what they do these days is they capture the people, they shot him luckily. But, they capture the people and they send them to court. You don't send them to court, you just get a gun and just blow them away. Straight away. It's a completely envious demoniac consciousness. So you see Kaliya, just completely envious and demoniac. Krishna's like a sweet personification of sweetness. Someone who's very sweet, very innocent, and still you kill that person. That means you're useless. So Krishna is very sweet, very beautiful, And still Kaliya wants to attack him. So Krishna's just thinking, what's your problem? And then Krishna's just ready to smash him. So we'll read to you a little bit about who Kaliya is, what he represents. So what anatta does he represent? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us different anattas. Kaliya represents brutal cruelty, maliciousness, pride, envy, and snake-like crookedness. Just bad qualities. He's just a snake. That's why it says in the Bhagavatam, even a saintly person is happy when the snake or scorpion is killed. That's why the farmer just killed them. Right, I don't feel bad about it. Actually, I do feel bad about it. I don't like killing them, but if they're close to the house, my daughter's there, I just get the shovel and just go crack. Just kill them. Because you don't know what they'll do. And later on, my daughter's outside and then comes like envious. He just destroyed them. So it says even a saintly person, even he is happy when the snake is killed. Say, good, he's dead. So if someone's like that, then they should be killed. Yeah. I don't like killing the snakes, but if they're close, if they're away from the house, then just let them go. That's no problem. But the envious person, he should be killed. The human being, who does the bad things, just kill them. Just like, those men, they raped that girl and killed her in India a couple of years ago on the bus. And they had a court case for 1 year or four. Just kill the guys. Just get them all. Just kill them all. Put it on television. Right? Say, tonight we're going to kill them all. You can all watch it because everyone wants them dead anyway. And just kill a lot of them on television. Just get swords, cut their heads off, and do whatever you want to them. Doesn't matter. If you're going to act like that, then we'll act like this. Right? And we're happy. Oh, good, they're gone. That's the problem now. Everyone's doing everything and no one does anything about it. So, he particularly tries to pour his poison into the hearts of the innocent Vaishnavas, which Krishna cannot tolerate. So then the Lord kills him. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he writes a commentary on this. He says that sometimes you see someone comes into the association of devotees, even a devotee, and it causes problems amongst the devotees. So sometimes people think, why does Krishna tolerate that? And why does Krishna let someone come in and cause problems? But Krishna is not tolerating it. Krishna's watching. Okay, he might let it go for some time, but eventually the person will get it. The same thing with Kaliya. He was in Vrindavan for a long time. Poison the whole place. Someone's like, why did Krishna let him come in the first place? Why didn't Krishna kill him? Krishna's got his plan. Something's going on. But when Krishna's ready, he will come in and just, that's it. So don't think anyone gets away with anything in this world. Sometimes we think, why isn't Krishna doing this? No one gets away with anything. You act bad, it will come, don't worry. Even if someone gets away. Sometimes people do very bad things, they murder someone or something, and then they get away. No one knows. But no one escapes. Yamaraj is waiting. He's Krishna's representative. Everyone, no one escapes. So Krishna, then he will deal with them at the right time. So
Krishna already gives a chance for them to, he doesn't punish anybody. He gives them a chance.
If they don't rectify themselves, then he will. If they rectify themselves, then no problem.
All the demons, they did something first, and then he just.
Okay, in his previous life, according to the Garga Samhita, during the Manvantara Swayambhuv Manu, at the beginning of the creation, he was a sage known as Veda Shira, who was cursed for not allowing the sage Ashwashira to meditate in his ashram. You are angry for no reason. You are just like a snake. Become a snake. So as one sage was angry at another sage, so he said, okay, now you'll be a snake. But then Vishnu appeared in front of the sage. He said, don't worry, because I will come and I'll place my feet on your head. You'll take birth as a snake, but I will come and I will give you mercy. Then Vedashira took birth with the first generation of great snakes in the universe from Daksha's daughter, Kadru. So he's born when Daksha began to populate the universe, and his daughter, these are the Prajapatis, then they created the snake population. So Kaliya was one of the first snakes. He's a very ancient snake, very powerful. Still alive, right? Living in?
Fiji.
Fiji. Yeah, under the island. We'll hear about that at the end of the chapter. Because Krishna doesn't kill him. Krishna kills nearly everyone else, but Kaliya doesn't kill him. He says, get out of Vrindavan. That's not good.
Exile.
Exile, yeah. Yeah, that's not good. I mean, imagine you couldn't go to Vrindavan anymore.
So he's still living.
Still alive to this day, right now. And if you want to see him, get on the plane. Yogi's seen him many times. Because he's still alive. He's living out his days. Okay. We'll hear more about that at the end of the chapter. Then Krishna banishes him. Says, okay, out.
And then he goes over in Fiji.
What is it? Yeah, there's some when Krishna kills Keshi, which is a long many chapters away. There's one pastime where he kills him, but there's another pastime where he jumps on his back and he rides him around. And Kali is the same. In the Bhagavatam it says he just chastises him and then tells him to get out, but there's another one where he jumps on his back and he you see them out there on the bay? Yeah, the jet skis. So he does that. Everything we see is just a reflection. Krishna does it first. You see jet skis. It's good fun. And jet ski. When I was in Malaysia, I went on the boat. Banana boat, yeah. Yeah, on the back. They put like a big raft or like a blow-up boat. Rubber. Yeah, flip it over. And you hold onto it and then the boat just goes... around like that. It's a lot of fun. Best fun. Really fantastic fun. Just goes around like that. Really good fun. So it's like that. Krishna starts all of these things. Anything in this world, Krishna started it. Anything you do, then Krishna did it first. So he just jumps on Kaliya's back, he grabbed on, he said, come on, go. And then he's swimming around. And Krishna was sitting on his back just enjoying the ride. But in the Bhagavatam it says that he said get out, he doesn't do that. But there's pastimes where he does.
Is there any place where the next life of Kali has been told, like will he be going back to spiritual world or will he be practicing the yogic thing? Because since he has received the lotus foot of Krishna, what is this?
We'll see what happens at the end of the chapter, see what's mentioned by the acharyas like that. His wives were pure devotees, and Krishna didn't kill him, which would indicate that he became purified. But still, sometimes Krishna purifies us, but then he says, okay, but still I want you... Yeah, Krishna sometimes he purifies us, but still he pushes us a little bit. Okay, for some time you still have to... purify your consciousness some more. But I think, as far as I know, he's a pure devotee. But he's hanging out in Fiji. The weather is good there.
Are his wives with him in Fiji?
No, they stayed.
They stayed.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't want to leave Vrindavan.
Didn't they ask for mercy for him?
They saved him.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see at the end of this chapter, in the next chapter, then we'll hear about how they saved him.
That's
probably right.
He submitted nice prayers to
Lord Krishna,
so he was pleased.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Which one are we up to?
10.
10. When the members of the cowherd community who had accepted Krishna as their dearmost friend saw him enveloped in the snake's coils, motionless, they were greatly disturbed. They had offered Krishna everything, their very selves, their families, their wealth, wives, and all pleasures. At the sight of the Lord in the clutches of the Kaliya snake, their intelligence became deranged by grief, lamentation, and fear, and thus they fell to the ground. So there is five major rasas, and then there are seven minor rasas. So the seven subsidiary rasas, or secondary rasas, one of them is ghastliness. Because ghastliness is when something happens in relation to Krishna, but it's terrible. So this is the worst thing that could happen. Devotees, I mean, imagine, you saw your child, and there was a big snake close to the child or wrapped around the child. I mean, your heart would stop. So Lord Chaitanya was doing that, when he was a baby Nimai. They came out one time, he's laying there on a snake, big snake, and he's playing with the snake. So the heart would stop. So the devotees, they felt like this. I mean, this snake is huge, like, dozens of hoods. I mean, it says the size of the snake is, like, it's a giant snake. Like, its head's bigger than this room, like huge, huge. And then they come, and then they look into the river, and Krishna's wrapped at this point. He's wrapped, the coils are around the snake, and the snake's there hissing at him. Like that. So you just imagine, you can't even imagine how much anxiety they are in. So this is ghastly ras. Krishna does this only for one reason. It just makes everyone more attached. Just like something happens to your child, you just become more attached to them. Oh, I nearly lost my child, and you just become so attached. So that's why Krishna is doing it. He's just making everyone more attached to him, which is the goal of all the pastimes. Because he's not worried. He's just making everyone... He's just having fun, but everyone else is just building their attachment.
So is the act of yoga...
Everything in the spiritual world is yoga.
Same emotions when they are on the material platform, they are not good. It is mentioned that lamentation, fear, and because they are in connection with Krishna, they actually don't feel
pure.
Yeah.
But I remember at one stage, Devagar Goswami said that who's ever in love of God.
Yeah, so that proves these are spiritual emotions. It's not material. The cows, bulls, and female calves in great distress called out piteously to Krishna, fixing their eyes on him. They stood still in fear, as if ready to cry, but too shocked to hear, to shed tears. In the Vrindavan area, there then rose all three types of fearful omens, those on the earth, those in the sky, and those in the bodies of living creatures, which announced imminent danger. So the question is, why was all this inauspiciousness there? So it says that the earth was moving. If there's a tremor, that's inauspicious. So the earth moved. And then it said that the... bodies are the devotees. For the men, if your left eye or left side of your body twitches, that's inauspicious. And if your right side twitches, that's auspicious. And for women, it's the opposite. So if their right side is twitching, sorry, left, that's auspicious. And then right side, that's inauspicious. Sometimes it happens. You need to know these things because sometimes Krishna is telling you something. You begin to speak in a particular way to someone, and your left side, wait a minute. Or something. Many happens to me. Even today, I was driving up in the car, the right side twitched, which is auspicious. I was thinking about this section in Bhagavatam. Krishna is saying, yes, this is auspicious. So the question is, why is it that there would be inauspicious omens? This is just another way of Krishna, by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, his pastime potency,
to make the devotees more attached to him. Everyone became worried.
More dramatic.
Everyone became worried because everyone thought Krishna's in danger. My left side of my body is twitching. Something bad is about to happen to Krishna. So they ran to the Jamuna River. But there was nothing inauspicious because it's Krishna. What can be inauspicious? But it's just another way of Krishna making the devotees more attached.
Inauspicious moments also Kali,
I believe. Yeah. Yeah. He's about to get chastised. Seeing the inauspicious omens, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men were fearful, for they knew that Krishna had gone to herd the cows that day without his elder brother Balaram. Because they had dedicated their minds to Krishna, accepting him as their very life, they were unaware of his great power and opulence. Thus they concluded that the inauspicious omens indicated he had met with death, and they were overwhelmed with grief, lamentation and fear. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the children, women and elderly persons, thought of Krishna just as a cow thinks of her helpless young calf, and thus these poor suffering people rushed out of the village intent upon finding him. So everyone else is suffering, but Krishna is just enjoying. He's, the whole thing's ecstatic for him. He's just thinking this is completely, it's nothing better actually. For a young boys just love adventure. Even old boys, we like adventure. You know, we don't like sitting around. We want something exciting to happen. You know, so let's do it. Now, I told you that story when I was in Delhi. And you know, the years ago, the Kazakhstan government, they attacked the devotee temple in Kazakhstan. So then we were in Vrindavan. So they sent a message: all the devotees come to Delhi immediately. We're going to go to the Kazakhstan embassy and we're going to protest. So we all came. 1,000 devotees were there, and everyone got very worked up. And in Hindi, they were saying, you know, in India when they protest, they say. And someone gets a mic and goes da 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 da, and everyone goes cha cha, and everyone goes da 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 cha. So I didn't even know what we're saying. You know, everyone's going da da da, da. So I was going cha cha. So everyone was getting fired up. I could feel the mood, you know. And then the mood came, and then I thought in my mind, the mood's really getting there. Maybe we're all going to run to the embassy. And there were soldiers there with guns. And I thought maybe, you know, we're going to run and attack. You know, we might get shot and everything. But you get the feeling like, who cares? You know. I don't care. I just die for Krishna. I'll smash that embassy apart. I'm like, you know, if the devotees in Kazakhstan are being hurt, then we will fight and we will like that. So, you know, the mood was coming. You know, so we like that. You know, you don't want to live a boring life. And you know, just sitting at home on your couch. You know, you want to go out and fight for Krishna. That was Prabhupada's life. You know, Prabhupada said, I just want the benediction that I will die fighting on the battlefield like Arjuna did for Krishna. So that's the mood of the devotees. Let's go out and, you know, we'll die. So Krishna's just saying, hey, he's thinking, this is fantastic. You know, I'm out in the middle of the lake, the snakes around me, you know, let's have some fun. But everyone else on the land, they think, oh, it's the worst thing. Krishna is the best thing. So for Krishna, there's never anxiety. The residents hurried toward the banks of the Jamuna in search of their dearmost Krishna.
We didn't read it. 16, not read?
The Supreme Lord Balaram, the master of all transcendental knowledge, smiled and said nothing when he saw the residents of Vrindavan in such distress, since he understood the extraordinary power of his younger brother. So Balaram was just enjoying himself because he's watching Krishna's out there and Krishna's enjoying himself, and Balaram knew there was no anxiety because he's God and Krishna's God. So where's the anxiety? There's no anxiety. So Balaram, it said that he was smiling, and the reason he was smiling because he was thinking, I am in my other form, I am Anantasesh,
So I'm a big snake. And Vishnu lies on me. But Vishnu never does all this stuff. He never grabs me and starts like that. He said, I just lie like a bed. He just lies on me. Everything's very calm. I'd be smiling. I think this is much more fun. How come he doesn't do this when he's lying on me? You know, grabs me and starts rolling around and having some fun. So he's smiling. He said, just look, you know. Kali is getting all the mercy. I just have to lie down like a bed, just very peaceful, you know, big hood, you know, just swaying behind the Lord. And it's boring. You know, I want to go and do something like this. So Balaram's smiling, that's what Balaram's thinking. And he's thinking, there's no anxiety, what's the anxiety? So then, Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan, they see Krishna, and they jump into the Jamuna to swim out to save Krishna. And I saw actually pictures of the, remember 10 years ago more, they had the tsunami. It was in Boxing Day. Well, I can't remember what year that was. Many years ago. What was that?
2002.
2002, yeah. So it's 14 years ago, the tsunami came. So I saw pictures in different places, Thailand and this. The water was going out. So they knew when that comes, everyone knows, now it's going to come like this. And I saw mothers on the beach, but their children were in the water, and then all the water, they were running to get their children. But they knew, as soon as you know you're going out there, you know what's coming. But there's so much love that even in the face of danger, you will run to save your children. So the bridge buses, they know. I mean, you see Krishna's with his snake, you know you're going to die. If Nanda Maharaj swims out to the snake, then he knows, you know, he's going to die. But still, he'll do that to save Krishna. So they're all jumping in the water trying to get out to Krishna. And then what does Balaram do? Balaram goes around, he's just running up and down the shore, grabbing everyone and saying, hey, just relax. There's nothing to worry about. And he's smiling and he's just relaxed because he's Balaram. And when they see him, they also become pacified. Yeah? So this is what happens. When you associate with Balaram, or who represents Balaram?
Guru.
So when you're with your guru, how do you feel? Right, everything's okay. And when the guru smiles, no problem. When the guru doesn't smile, big problem. Right? But when the guru smiles, everything's no problem. When Krishna smiles or Balaram smiles, there's no problem. So Balaram was making everyone happy. He was just going and saying, hey, it's okay, don't worry. Krishna's got this under control. You just wait here. And then everyone was calming down. But then they look again, they become anxious, and then they jump in again. And he was just running up and down, just grabbing everyone to say, hey, just relax. Krishna's okay. So Balaram, that was his mood in the pastime. And Krishna was out there, he was enjoying, and everyone else was just overwhelmed with anxiety. So, any points?
I thought you said that then. The spiritual master
chastises
you should feel happy.
You should feel happy. You should.
I know you said that.
Oh, God. Just keep it simple for once. Anything else?
Krishna also wanted an audience.
Yeah.
He wanted them all to watch this pastimes because it was a fun, awesome, just see.
Yeah, well, no, the main reason that he wanted to increase their attachment, because they were just overwhelmed. When they saw him, they were just horrified. So, I mean, their attachment to him just went... And you'll see the chapter after this is the forest fire. Next chapter is the continuation of Kali, but then the one after that, the forest fire. Because by the time it all finished, they all went and they just slept in the forest. And then the fire came like that, so... They were so attached and they just want to sleep with him. Right? We can't make it back because it's too late. We'll just all sleep. They all just went close together. Right? To be with Krishna. So he just does this. Doesn't make him run attached. Right? They're on in anxiety, so what does he do? Then he creates a fire. Right? You're not in enough anxiety, he will put you in more anxiety. he ever do this to you?
Yes.
When you're in anxiety, he makes it worse. Why does he do this? Because he wants to see, will you worship me under any circumstances? Right?
Yes.
Sometimes he makes our life, I know myself, sometimes my life gets really intense. And I'm sort of thinking, wow, you know, like, and then, you know, but then I try to keep serving Krishna. And at the end of it, I think, oh, okay, it's finished. And then he goes, no, no, no. We'll just do it again. Right? The whole thing again. More intense. And then we'll say, you're still going to keep serving? All he wants to see, you're going to keep serving under all circumstances. Because I know some devotees, when things get tough, they stop chanting their rounds. Right? Sometimes devotees, they tell me this. You know, I stop chanting or I stop reading. Or, you know, I know devotees over the years, they stop coming to this class. And when I ask them, I say, oh, you're not coming. You haven't been for a few months. Oh, I have all these problems. You know, if I tell you my problems, you want to get started? Problems are always there. Problems come and go. Krishna says Gita, Matra Spasha, it comes, it goes. But Krishna is testing us. When the problems come, just keep serving, keep chanting. When the problems don't come, keep serving, keep chanting. And they just come, they go, they come, they go. Yeah. So Krishna puts everyone in total anxiety. And when you get back to the spiritual world, it's total anxiety. Do you want to go there? You want to go to a place of total anxiety? Well, that's Krishna testing us. Because up there is anxiety as well. Oh, there's no anxiety because there's no birth, no death, no old age or disease. That's not there. But the emotional roller coaster, that just every day it's just up and down, up and down.
Of course, your mother, Yashoda, loves him so much. Why does he? Her condition was worse. She loves him so much. And he's pursuing anxiety too.
Yeah, that's his style. He likes it. He's just that kind of person. When everything's peaceful, he gets bored, so then he just, you know. It's like in India, like, you know, everyone's sitting around, everyone's peaceful, someone has to start some problem just to get everyone kind of, you know. I go to India and I sit there, you know, I'm sitting there having lunch with someone, there has to be something, you know, everyone has to, and someone starts yelling and, just creates some excitement. You know. Then everyone's happy, you know, otherwise it's just boring. Okay, the resonance hurried toward the banks of the Jamuna in search of their dearmost Krishna, following the path marked by his footprints, which bore the unique signs of the personality of Godhead. The footprints of Lord Krishna, the master of the entire cowherd community, were marked with the lotus flower, barleycorn, elephant, goad, thunderbolt, and flag. My dear King Parikshit, seeing his footprints on the path among the cow's hoofprints, the residents of Vrindavan rushed along in great haste. So they won't stand on his footprints. Everyone walks around his footprints in Vrindavan. No one will ever stand. As they hurried along the path to the bank of the Jamuna River, they saw from a distance that Krishna was in the lake, motionless, within the coils of the black serpent. They further saw that the cowherd boys had fallen unconscious and that the animals were standing on all sides, crying out for Krishna. Seeing all this, the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with anguish and confusion. When the young gopis, whose minds were constantly attached to Krishna, the unlimited Supreme Lord, saw that he was now within the grip of the serpent, they remembered his loving friendship, his smiling glances and his talks with them. Burning with great sorrow, they saw the entire universe as void. So all the devotees, they felt unbelievable anxiety. But when the gopis, who we haven't heard much about yet, when they saw him, the universe was void. There's nothing. I don't care. Everything. Just, you know, he has to be saved. If he dies, we die. You know, their anxiety was just paramount. Unlimited anxiety. It just says the universe burned to ashes at that moment. You know, when something happens in your life dramatic, everything else just instantaneously becomes nothing. You know, you hear someone died or something who's close to you, everything just
it's all gone. So when the gopis heard that Krishna was in, or they saw he was in anxiety, just everything, there's nothing left. So tomorrow night we'll continue the chapter. So next Tuesday we'll do an overview of the chapter, so make sure you come. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah. Yeah.